Welcome to Caritals. This is Wendy.
And this is Amanda.
Today's cast, personal OKRs for career growth, part one of two.
The questions that this cast answers are, what are OKRs? Why use OKRs for career growth? And how can I use OKRs for career growth?
If you want the answers to these questions and more, keep listening.
We're hosting a virtual public effective manager conference starting on January 14th over Zoom. If you're looking for guidance on how to be a good manager, come to our 4-session online event delivered via Zoom in order to learn about one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation from the comfort of your own office. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training.
According to LinkedIn's 2023 workplace learning report that I found online, 89% of professionals believe career growth is a top priority, and yet many struggle to make meaningful progress. Of course, 90% of people want to grow their career, but most of us struggle with it, right? And if you're feeling stuck in your career development, you are clearly not alone. Work Today is what experts call a VUCA environment, which stands for volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity, which are all words that you would rather not be in the middle of a swirling mess of.
Yeah.
There's rapid technological changes, market shifts, organizational restructuring, and in the middle, there's you trying to grow your career on these constantly shifting sands. Oh, it's hard. And while it's common to make plans doing your annual review, who's looked at their annual review ready for the next year and gone, oh, I've forgotten all of those. But all of those things I said in January I was going to do. Yeah, I haven't done any of those. And either you're desperately doing them at the end of November in order to get them done before your review, or they're so out of date. You know, they don't make sense in the environment that you're now in. And so it's really hard to make progress when everything's changing. And plus, if you think of your own, especially if the goals are your own career growth and not the goals your boss set for you, it's really easy to lose them in the day-to-day work. You know, like, oh, I'm going to set an hour aside on Thursdays to read the industry journal. And every Thursday, there's some kind of fire drill, or you have to go to a meeting, or you're out of town, and you can go 52 weeks without having done that once really easily. And that's what leads us to that stuck feeling, right? I'm really trying hard and nothing's happening. So Objectives and Key Results offers a framework to align your career goals with organizational metrics and establish a systemic tracking system, which means by your next review, you can demonstrate progress both on your personal career growth goals and the objectives that your organization set for you. And luckily, the key results section works perfectly to provide you accomplishments for your resume, should you decide that you want to grow your career somewhere else. So in this cast, we're going to talk about how to use OKRs to make your vague career aspirations into concrete, measurable achievements for your resume and career goals, and make sure that you meet your organizational objectives. Wow, that's a big promise.
Yeah. So what these casts are going to cover are, we're going to learn about OKRs. Then we're going to define your objectives. We're going to link your personal OKRs to those of your organization. Then create a weekly scoring system. After that, we will establish a monthly review. And then lastly, build an evidence portfolio.
So the first thing to do is learn about OKRs. OKR stands for Objective and Key Results, and it's a framework that was introduced, I want to say 10 years ago, but I'm making that up off the top of my head, a different framework from the kind of waterfall goals that people were setting before. So before, you would say, I'm going to make $100,000 in sales by the end of October, and then you'd say, okay, so 6 months from now, I need to have done 50,000, and you just break it down that way. OKRs don't work that way. They work kind of differently. And maybe your organization introduced them, so you do have some understanding. Maybe your organization half introduced them or said they were going to introduce them and then forgot them 5 minutes later, which is how a lot of organizations introduce these great ideas. So we're going to give you a description and some examples just to get your head around the idea of what we're doing.
And the difference between OKRs and traditional goal setting systems is the difference in the focus. Rather than outlining specific projects to complete, OKRs focus on problems to solve or improvement opportunities that you need to pursue. In this way, they're more akin to the user stories and job stories that are familiar to like IT professionals.
It's much more akin to the agile frameworks. Mm-hmm. That we've had, probably as a reaction to the constant change in organizations, because if you set a waterfall goal in January, by December, it's OBE. But if you're just doing this short term, like how do I solve a problem, or shorter term, how do I solve this problem kind of goal setting, you're more likely to stay in tune with what's going on around you. So the key results part doesn't track the completed tasks like it would on a traditional project plan. They measure the outcomes of your activities and they indicate how close you are to achieving your objective. So you set the objective and the key results, and then you think about how you're going to achieve it and what specific tasks you are going to need to do, which is a very different way to look at things.
Yeah, think of the key results more as sub-goals and not necessarily a task list. Each key result is designed to first build towards your overall objective and provide a clear, measurable way of progress. And it focuses on the outcomes rather than the activities or the tasks.
So the idea is that you're measuring progress and impact and not just checking off tasks because they're on the project list. So here's an example. Develop recognition as a cloud architecture specialist. And then your key results might be migrate 5 legacy applications to cloud native architecture, achieve 3 advanced cloud certifications, and reduce cloud infrastructure costs by 25%. So each of those key results are sub projects which build to proving that you're a specialist in cloud architecture.
Another example. Your objective would be establish myself as a technical leader within the development team. And the key results of that would be successfully lead and deliver 2 high visibility projects with cross-functional teams by Q4, achieve greater than 90% positive peer feedback on code reviews for 40 plus reviews conducted, reduce team's sprint bug rate by 30% through implementing new testing practices, and then have 3 of my architectural design proposals accepted and implemented by the team. So again, you have your objective, the overall goal, but then you have your sub-goals, your key results that are more measurable.
So what we do now is we do a bunch of projects and then step back and say, what does that say about me? Whereas this way we're saying, what do I want to be able to say about me in the end of the year and what are the things I need to do to get there? Okay, one more. Build mentorship and team development capabilities. And the key results would be onboard and mentor 3 junior developers to full productivity measured by independent feature delivery. Create and deliver 5 technical training sessions with an average satisfaction score of 4.5 out of 5. Establish and maintain team documentation, achieving 90% coverage of core systems. And improve team velocity by 20% through process improvements and knowledge sharing. And we'll notice you don't get away with not having proper measures, like numerical measures here. You don't get away with like improving team capabilities sounds like you could just say, well, I feel like it's improved. But these goals make it clear that you have to have concrete measures in order to know whether or not you're getting closer.
So we've talked about what it looks like, your objectives and your key results. But now we're going to talk through defining them. So first, you want to define 3 to 5 professional objectives. That's your first step. An example of this would be become a recognized cloud architecture specialist. The examples that we just gave. So our objective is to be recognized. Because so many of us are so used to using SMART goals, it takes some thinking to create an objective this way. Now, you'll know that if you've listened to Manager Tools at all in regards to goal setting, that we don't use or believe in SMART goals. In fact, SMART goals are dumb, I believe is how we phrase that. The specific, achievable, and relevant parts of a SMART goal are redundant. So if you don't set a specific, achievable, and relevant goal, you might as well not set the goal at all. All that matters is whether you can measure it and when you're going to do it. So a Manager Tools goal would be to obtain AWS Solutions Architecture Professional Certification by June 30th. It's also SMART.
Just all on its own, right? The objectives and OKRs aren't SMART either, because become recognized as a cloud architecture specialist only describes what you want to be at the end. And it's not time-bound, because the timing is in the key results. And there's no metrics, because those are in the key results as well. So the OKR objective is strategic, focused on the broad outcome, not the specific task. So we're just saying where we are now and where we want to be, and the how thing comes in later. In this way, they're much more useful to you in this VUCA environment than SMART goals. Because if you say, I want to do X by this time, and then your organization changes and you can't do it, then you can't achieve your goal. Whereas if you said, I want to be known as the go-to person for Google Sheets, you can do that even if the organization reorganizes you or changes your team or changes your job or whatever. You can still, that broad objective is still there.
Mm-hmm. Since it's really easy to slip into the SMART goal habit that many of you have probably learned, although we don't recommend it, if you've been using it for so long, there's some helpful ways to stay in the OKR realm. So first, start with be or become rather than those action verbs. So instead of saying gain cloud architecture skills, you're going to write become a trusted cloud architecture expert. So be or become.
Imagine your future goal state, the state you want to be in the future, and then describe that state. So instead of complete 3 major cloud migrations, write, be the go-to person for cloud transformation.
And ask yourself, what would success look like? What does that future state look like? Instead of deliver 5 presentations, you can write, become an influential voice in the tech community.
And if you find yourself writing numbers or dates, metrics, and deadlines, remove them and put them in the key results. So instead of achieve 90% team satisfaction by Q4, which has both metrics and numbers and dates, write something like, be a respected technical team leader. And then you have to work on your team satisfaction as part of the key results.
You want to focus on the impact that you want to have. So when thinking of what impact you want to have for that future state, instead of writing, implement new testing processes, write, become known for delivering high quality code.
So remember that the objective describes where you want to get to, not how you're going to get there. Objectives are much more aspirational than SMART goals. If you set a SMART goal, you're expected to get there. The whole point of achievable is that you're supposed to supposed to have a goal that's something that you can do. But with OKRs, getting 70 or 80% is okay in a way that it isn't for SMART goals. So if you think, be the go-to person for cloud transformation, you could be the go-to person for 80% of the team or the division and still have achieved your goal. Whereas if you describe something much more concrete in SMART goal terms, then it's much easier to miss.
Yeah, and in this case, 70% is good enough because you still made that improvement. You still are, in fact, the person that people want to go to for the majority of things.
Need a last-minute professional gift that makes a real impact? Let me tell you about Manager Tools subscriptions. Here's what makes them perfect. They're delivered instantly, but they provide value all year long. Each subscription includes our complete podcast library ad-free, plus our show notes, templates, and tools. Choose from the three levels. Career Tools at $165 US annually, perfect for professionals building their careers. Then Manager Tools at $240 annually, ideal for team leaders and managers. And finally, Executive Tools at $330 annually, designed for senior leadership development. And here's the best part. Every gift subscription this December includes our exclusive 2025 Professional Planning Kit. That's on top of our regular features like expert support, complete resource access, and training discounts. Don't settle for another generic gift card. Give something that will actually advance another's career. Visit us online at manager-tools.com/gift and give the gift of professional excellence today.
So now let's talk about how to link your personal OKRs to those of your organization. Linking your personal OKRs to those of your organization gives you several benefits. Because first, you're almost certainly working towards achieving the goals given to you as an individual by the organization. Secondly, you're not making the achievement extra difficult by swimming against the needs and desires of the organization. Third, this alignment makes your achievements more visible and valuable to leadership. And fourth, you're more likely to get resources and support when your goals directly contribute to the organizational success. So if you are setting OKRs that don't relate to anything that you're working towards, you're working extra hard on something that's not going to benefit you. But if you can get into the right alignment with the folks in your organization, and you're basically working towards a common goal, increasing your skills in an area that's going to be helpful, you're going to get more support. It's going to honestly be easier to stick to because if it doesn't benefit your current work, you can easily push it to the side because it becomes a later problem. So aligning it with things that you're working towards just makes it a lot easier and more likely to be successful for you and have the organization benefits.
And since the how you achieve the objective is flexible, you can aim to achieve both your personal growth goals and meet the needs of the organization when you set them. Right? But if you wanted to be the go-to person for cloud transformation, we said complete 3 major cloud migrations. But maybe your organization doesn't have cloud migrations this year. They've just decided that nothing is being migrated to the cloud this year. Now, you can't be the go-to person, but you could still be the expert in it by reading or giving a talk at a conference or just writing the company Wikipedia or the you know, all of the information that the company has about cloud migrations ready for when they do actually decide that they're going to migrate to the cloud. So because you are flexible in how you achieve the goal, it matters less what the organization does around you. It allows you to take on the projects that the organization wants done and build your skills. Finding those projects or activities that meet both your wants and the organizational needs. Because the sweet spot of goals is what you want to do, what the organization wants you to do, and what's within your reach, within your job capabilities or within your job description, because going outside of what your job is supposed to be, you know, you're outside your lane is not generally a good idea or appreciated. So if you can find that sweet spot of what the organization needs, what you want to do, and what's within your grasp, then everything works better. And of course, if you can do this, then you also get the measurable accomplishments for your resume and you build a reputation as someone who understands and delivers on business priorities. And that's an important thing because there's a lot of people who want to do what they want to do and not what the organization needs them to do, which is Mark's definition of professionalism, is doing what needs to be done, not what you want to do.
Yeah.
And this is a really easy way to stay in that lane and be doing what is needed, but still getting what you want out of it.
Let's go over some examples of what this might sound like. If your organization's objective is improve code quality and testing practices, your personal objective could become recognized for code contributions. And then how you're going to have the alignment through your key results are achieve 95% test coverage on all features you develop, reduce bugs in your code by having zero reopened issues, then have 5 of your code improvements adopted as team standards, and lastly, successfully complete team automation certification.
Another example. The organization's objective is better documentation and knowledge sharing. That sounds so vague when you're used to the time-bound and measured goals. It really is a vault phase. It's a completely different way of thinking. So your personal objective is become a valued team collaborator. So the organization wants better documentation and knowledge sharing, and you want to be seen as a really good collaborator. So the alignment through the key results, create user guides for 3 key systems you work with, have 90% of your documentation approved without revision, lead 2 knowledge sharing sessions on tools that you've mastered, and achieve positive feedback from 3 team members who used your documentation. So you're helping the team, but you're also fulfilling what the organization wanted around documentation.
And one more example, if there's the organization's objective is to enhance cybersecurity posture, your personal objective could be become an authority in security architecture. So you're both gaining a new skill and supporting the overall organization's objective. Now, how are you going to do this? Through alignment, through key results. First, achieve 3 security certifications, CISSP, AWS Security, Azure Security. Lead security audit by reducing all the vulnerabilities by 50%. Implement zero trust architecture adopted by 4 product teams, and create security best practices adopted by 90% of development teams.
And if you wonder why Amanda and I don't sound like we know what we're talking about when we read the examples, it's because I did actually create all of these examples using AI. I told it what the organization's objective was and said, what could my personal objectives be within that? And if your organization gives you objectives and you think, I don't know how to make my OKRs from those, using AI is smart, not cheating, in my opinion. So we choose examples that mean hopefully something to our audience, not necessarily something that Amanda and I have a lot of familiarity with.
Yeah, we would be very limited if we were just focused on what I could produce. So we want to help you all by hopefully giving you information that resonates better with your organization instead of just what we know.
Yes. Yeah, otherwise this would be really boring. Having given you the idea of what OKRs are and how you can create the goals yourself, we also need to send you off with your homework to go and find out what your organization's OKRs are, because we've just talked about lining your personal OKRs up with your organization's, and you're not going to be able to do that unless you know what your organization's objectives are, whether they describe them as objectives and key results, or whether they're using a different formulation or a different method. You still need to know what they are. So we're going to send you off this week with the homework to find those out and start writing your own OKRs. And next week, we'll talk about how to create a scoring system so that at the end of the year, you actually know which ones you've achieved. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.